Chiamato. It is Baptist at Cafe. And we are still in the middle of this fascinating sugya of Yisrei Hanot. And because we had some yotzeim in our klal, we were unable to bring a riot the things that didn't use the lashon of achila, that we could expand on the Yisrei Hanot. We started off looking for Kiloy HaKerem. And Kiloy HaKerem is very fascinating. The way we got into this whole thing was by starting on what was ostensibly a new issue, which is Derech Hanato, Derech Achilato. Through that, we stumbled, because since Kiloy HaKerem was unique in that it didn't use the lashon of achila or Hanot, so there we said, the general guidelines of modes of consumption is irrelevant because it never talks about consumption. Therefore, whatever it is the Torah said, Pentru Gudash, Fukanesh, is basically an Isser that takes no account of the mode in which you would consume. As a result of that, again, with a typical Gemara trick, then we're talking about something else and getting back to the real issue. So we ended up asking, if that were true, then why wouldn't we be able to ask, after we try learning from Kiloy HaKerem, that Tzvasa B'Cholov is Asr, which is a very important part of our discussion. Tzvasa B'Cholov never says an Isser B'Achila, so he doesn't say an Isser B'Anah, and anyway, within the episode, actually harkens back now to our original issue, which the whole parak is about, because the parak, after all, is about the hour in which it's Mutter B'Achila B'Rasa B'Anah, Lib Rav Yehuda, or Lib Rav Gamliel. And so all of the inyanim of Isser B'Anah ended up coming into this parak, because of that little diak, the Mutter. And because of that, there must be an hour that is looked for some people, not for other people. It remains also by now. Okay. So Abaya, the last thing that happened is Abaya was being rather sarcastic about whoever asked him the question, because it was a pretty ridiculous question to ask him at Kiloy HaKerem. If he's right about Kiloy HaKerem, then we should have said that's why Kiloy HaKerem can't serve as a basis for Basar B'Cholov, because Basar B'Cholov would only be Asar Derech Hanato, and Kilayim would be Asar Imet Shaloka Derech Hanato. What are you talking about? It doesn't say the word eating by Basar B'Cholov either, anymore than by Kilayim. So we ended up basically stumbling across the set of things that are Asar B'Achila, in which there's no mention made of either Abin Hanah, which is no mention made of either Achila Hanah. And that way gives us a whole different issue that we need to think about. Where does that issue come from? And so on and so forth. That's where we're all in the middle. And because we left off with a bias, rather powerful counter thrust to whoever had asked this question, so the Gemara asks, what actually are you thinking about? That's a crazy question to ask. The one who was asking the question, what did he think that he was asking? I mean, obviously, the moment that you start thinking to yourself how you're going to finish the question, which is all about asking to do, so go ahead, let's finish the question, as opposed to, and there's no as opposed to. So what was he thinking? He was thinking, said the Gemara, he was thinking that because the source of the limud was actually Trefa, which we're calling here Nevela. In other words, we started with Nevela, we started with the Hekesh, Anshe Kodesh, Tionli, Basar B'Kodesh, and then we compared that to Basar B'Sada Trefa with the Anshe Kodesh that appeared by the Am Kadosh with the Nevela, in which it says, Los Vashi Ovidu B'Chalei Vimo. We put that together, we're calling the whole thing Nevela. Maybe other reasons we're calling it, but actually means by Trefa. Since by Trefa, the mocker of the limud is indeed only kederech, so we thought that we would basically be learning out from there. That's what he thought. That's why he asked it. He said, "La'achik gomer min avela," meaning treifa, that ma avela derech anata, plus b'chalav derech anata. Whereas Abaya says, "Well, why would you think that?" La'achik lo katav achilav gufa. The whole point is that the Torah is going out of its way to avoid ever talking about don't eat plus b'chalav. Isn't that strange to you? Well, why not just tell us don't eat plus b'chalav? That's the thing. It's trying to bring out that the issue over here in terms of eating is irrelevant. I don't care if it's eating, consumption, or using it to make a pillow for your head. It's all the same thing to me. Therefore, I don't want to use the word eating. Well, how can you ignore that? So the whole point the Torah is making is to tell me, I'm avoiding the use of the word achila, lo marsh, no kin alav avil shalom b'derech hanato. That's part of the mystery of Basar B'Cholov. It never tells you anything about it except don't cook it. You know, you ended up learning the whole thing out of, really, we needed Kiloy HaKerem. Your whole thing was, we should have asked, the way Abaya was learning that Kiloy HaKerem is Asar Afil Shalom b'derech hanato. Shouldn't you ask another thing? I mean, you could have asked, Relifro, how can I use Kiloy HaKerem as a proof that Basar B'Cholov is Asar? It's a malik Kiloy HaKerem shken lo haita lo sha'at ha-koshen. I planned Kiloy HaKerem. The moment it becomes Kiloy HaKerem, it's Kiloy HaKerem. There was never a time in which it was now kosher. Whatever now grows, grows be'isr. Whatever didn't grow be'isr, I would assume doesn't become retroactively usr. I mean, what was previously mutter. So if that's the case, it's very different to Basar B'Cholov. Basar B'Cholov is, by definition, two things that are mutter. Now, I'm making them usr. We're perfectly mutter before. But Kiloy HaKerem, it may well be that, of course, there's Machmer and Kiloy HaKerem because it never had Shata Kosher. That doesn't prove. I mean, so maybe that's why there would be the isr. No, what does that show about pasuk b'cholov where it had a shata kosher. Amar Rav Barava, well, since nobody asked that question, it appears that Kilo Yakarim did have shata kosher. How's that? Well, the only way it could have shata kosher is by saying that if I take now something implanted into the ground, and at that point it becomes zarua, that even the seed that I had used to plant is now us, even though it was always here before. So it had a shata kosher. It had a shata kosher before it was planted in a vineyard. Now that I planted it in a vineyard, it's now awesome. Not only what will grow, because even if I could isolate the part that was originally there, that is now natua nekerem and etz kiloya kerem. That's the whole point. That's what we're trying to make it not. We're trying to make it not different. Hello, come in. That's exactly what we just accomplished. We said it was previously mutter, now it's us. You just proved that point. So how's it different? It isn't. That's why it's the rain. Amr bar barav. Zot omer kiloya kerem. Ikara ne'asarim. Must mean that the original part was previously mutter becomes now usher. Okay, so then I could still call it Haitalem Shata Kosher. It was Haitalem Shata Kosher before the Hashrasha, before it took root now in the Kerem, it was kosher. Now it takes roots in the Kerem, now it's not kosher. That's a Rav Shmuel, according to that. Okay, consider for a moment. You have a plant. You take a tomato plant. And you're going to move it through the Kerem. Down, 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 down. You walk across there, holding that tomato plant. It's got a hole in the bottom, so it's not its knuckle, so it's as if it's yonek from the bottom. Ah! The whole tomato plant should become instantly ulcer because it's not planted in a Kerem. But it's Mushraj, and now the ground is going to be drawn in the Kerem, and we just instantaneously vaporize that tomato plant. It's Pentu Kadesh. The problem is that's not the halacha. According to you, that should be the halacha. Because it says like this, Hama'avir, somebody now, it's a Mishnah, Hama'avir atzitz nakuv b'kerem, somebody who is crossing his Kerem with a plant in a container, the hole in the bottom. Im hosif matayim asur. If he left it there long enough for it to grow an additional 1/200, because that's the shear of the lion being the bottle, okay? So, in other words, if it's now a half of a percent here, right, so now it's going to be usur. But
it's in his hands. It's not in his hands.
Come on, don't you see the hole in the bottom?
Of his feet?
No, of a flower pot.
Okay.
Only some people are planted in the ground. There are people who aren't planted. No, but this guy has all, he doesn't have a hole, the flower plant has a hole.
Right,
yeah.
Okay. And it's in his hands.
Who cares where it is?
And he's walking through.
He's a flower pot holder.
So I understand what's going on, because they're making
He's walking very slowly.
It's actually a film.
It's a very big carrot.
It's called Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. There's no connection to the earth that this would be, that one would think rationally.
Yinika. Yinika. The earth exudes and the plant absorbs. Absolutely. Hey. Hey, man. Sure. Hey, heck. Look at the surface of Mars when it heats up. Okay. The earth is no different. What do you want? There's always something coming out.
Next time I go to Mars, I'll be sure to notice that.
Okay. As a matter of fact, even the moon has got a little heat exudation or stuff, yeah. Because the things that were absorbed in the moon dust, when they first took the moon dust into their return module and they were able to take off their spaceship, it smelled something unbelievable. It smelled exactly like gunpowder. Yeah, it's interesting because it was so full of various chemicals and so on. We could give them something. By the time they got back to Earth, they had sealed everything in airtight containers. It was supposedly it would have given off the same smell, but it turned out that the stuff was so abrasive it ate through the seals. So they never got back any moon dust that hadn't been exposed right there in moisture. By the time we got back there, nobody knew what they were talking about. They all swear it smelled like gunpowder. Anyway, so you can be sure these flowers know what to pick up. Let me tell you, very, very smart. So now, if it was mosif matayim, it's awesome. What does that mean? If it's mosif matayim, it's awesome. You're telling me only if it's mosif. I mean, I understand the meaning of mosif is a certain amount of new growth. That new growth has to register as being significant enough in the context of a whole plant that isn't kilayim growth. Normally, the level of bittul in kilayim is 1/200. Okay, it's 1/200. So now this makes sense. The new growth is also the old growth is mutter. There's now enough new growth to house the plant. But I mean, certainly the plant isn't becoming also. By your standards, the whole plant becomes also the moment that it's in the vineyard. And over here, nothing happens to it when it's in the vineyard. It's only the new growth that's also. We explain that. So it's clear that ikran is not necessary in kilayim, and therefore we are back to the question: why didn't we say that kilayim is different than basar b'cholov because it was always also? Meaning, whatever is kilayim Karen is awesome. And then Masheke by the Basar Bechalav, it was first Mutter. What do you do about that? Omar Rava, says Rava, look, the truth is, there are two separate inyanim in Kilayim. This is fascinating. On the one hand, the Torah uses the word, Lotizra, Karmecha Kilayim, Hene Tikdash Hamleya Hazera Asher Tizra. What does Hazera mean? The very seed that you planted. It's clearly saying the seed itself will become Asur. And there's another pasuk that says, Pen, same pasuk, obviously, was the same word, is Pen Tikdash Hamile'ah. Now, which one is it? Is it Hamile'ah, which would be the new growth, that which fills it out, or is it the Zara? Which one is it? Now, obviously, there's two different dinim. Okay, Tzad. Zarua Me'ikaro. If the first time that this thing has been mushrash in the ground has been in the context of Kilayim, you're planting it. If you're planting it, then the whole thing becomes Asur. Then the Hashrasha takes root, becomes Asur. Zarua Uba. But when this thing is in a pot, and it's planted already in the pot, in the pot, and you're now walking through the pot, you're walking through the vineyard, so it never takes root in the vineyard, really. It's a question of now whether this pot has become part of the vineyard. That's Hamaleya. So there's really two different in it. By the way, there's all types of discussion as to whether this is a deraisa or not. We seem to be darshing it from a pasuk, but if the basis of this, most Rishonim learned, the basis of this is bittul, because 200 to 1 is not, where will we get that from, 200 to 1? Can't be, but 200 to 1 is only a din of bittul derabbanan. Everything is bittul baro. So then that means this whole thing would just be an asmach. That's not really, it would be two different discerning over here. Huh? But at least in terms of the shir. I mean, it's obviously it's not a sugya, but it's kedai to point out. There are those who actually say just the opposite, that the shir of 200 to 1 is tied midrabbanan because of the idea of the new growth that the Torah views as significant here. That's where we learn out the 200 from, Rufa, from the Isra Hanah that is greater than Orla. We have Ramazan for Truma, Orla, so in the 100, and the, right? So the dual Isra because of the Isra Hanah makes 200. it's not our sugya at all, just kedai to note. It's certainly a fascinating issue. Getting too hot in here, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Somebody keeps turning up the heat. It's probably the South Africans. They control it by without contact. Yeah, that was just a cover up. That was the thing about. Yeah, that's why you asked that question. Okay, come. So, Omer of Yaakov, Omer of Yochanan, our next issue about Yisrei Hana'ah is that b'chol mitrapim chutz mi'atzei hashira. You could use anything to get yourself well if you're ill, but you cannot use wood from an Asherah tree. Now, what's the case? What do you mean if you're not well? You need a second. Are you sick to the point of having your health in danger, life in danger? So what's the difference what it is? Eat it like a second. If you're telling me that there's no danger that's involved, then why would you use any Asherah? Well, Leolam Dika Sakana, it's talking about that, yes, you're in mortal danger, but nonetheless, comes to using Atzei Asherah, you're not allowed to do that. The Tanya Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Im Ne'amar B'chol Nafshecha, Lama Ne'amar B'chol Mi'odecha, Im Ne'amar B'chol Mi'odecha, Lama Ne'amar B'chol Nafshecha. And Lomar Lecha, the reason it stresses both is to tell me, Im Yesh Adam Shegufo Chaviv Alav Mimamono, if you have people who care more about their body than their money, V'kach Ne'amar B'chol Nafshecha, so that you should be prepared to give up your life. And on the other hand, Yesh Adam Shemimono Chaviv Alav Migufo, there are others who care more about their money than their body. People think it's strange, but it's 99.9% of people, of course. Isn't that true? They risk their lives all the time. They have horrific lifestyles. They're guaranteed heart attack lifestyles, but they care about the money more. I mean,
halacha covers that for with the Shabbos, if it's fire, then...
It's certainly not a rare thing. No? The God Ne'amar B'chol Mi'odecha, the Torah says, whatever it is that's more valuable to you, you've got to give it away. The truth is that this is completely irrelevant to our discussion. Yeah. I mean, all we need to know is, I've got to know whether it's not nafshecha or mamon. But the truth is that since there's another man Ne'amar, this is really la'afuke Rabbi Shmuel. That's the only reason it mentions Rabbi Eliezer here. Because there's another approach that takes completely, he holds that you're not b'chuyev to be, give up your life. Unless it becomes a question of rabbin and so on and so forth. But you would be allowed to be matzah yourself without Asher, according to him. So la'afuke from that, show over here that no, the issue is, you have to be prepared to give up your life as an active act of ahava. So by the way, it's interesting because there's a remez in the Torah, right? It's more than a remez. Because we seem to be equating love with giving up your life. So, Shakespearean thing. That's what it would mean in terms of your emunah, by definition. And it's very interesting because when it comes to Navi Sheker, it says over there that Hashem is coming with Nasotchem, Ladat HaYishchem Ohavim, instead of Ma'aminim. What does that do with love? The function of love? This whole thing is V'ahavtat Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha. It's unbelievable. So in other words, the question of qualifying your emunah is related directly to the depth of your care, not to your intellectual veracity. Well, this is what he's saying over there also.
Emotionalize it.
Well, whatever love is, but certainly not just intellectual. Okay, anyway, so therefore we prove from here that you can't use Atzei Hashem.
And why is that? I don't get it. Why is that? What? Why can't you use Atzei Hashem?
Because you have to be willing to give up your life, such as sick. You have to be willing to give up your life, not to give grounds for utilizing Avodah Zarah.
Well, that's a good answer.
As an act of love.
Well, how do I see that?
Because it says to love. That's part of love.
To love Hashem.
I don't want to have anything to do with you. Understand? Nothing. That's all there is to it.
Ah, because I love Hashem, yes. I won't use anything.
Exactly. Or what are people going to think? Oh, now I like Asherah. Now I live off of Asherah. Hell with Asherah. I mean, it's the same thing. If you love somebody, you do the same thing, right? Even a human relationship.
But not if I could be cured. I mean,
not necessarily. That's really not true. If what it takes to get cured is to screw everything that I care about and to let people say that I've joined the dark side and so on.
But yeah, it's just wisdom a whole lot to be connected. Survival to be connected to spreading your love.
Well, yeah, of course. People do this all the time. No, that's not survival for any at any cost. No, nobody says survival at any cost. The question is, at what point the cost gets high enough? There's nobody just going to say survival at any cost. Would you take the whole human race with you? I mean, what exactly is the... No. But any kid in the street is ready to die for certain things.
So that means there's no altruistic instinct.
Absolutely. There's love. People love that. No? Do you feel the love tonight?
All you need is that.
Okay. Yasser Rav and Amr of Yochanan. Bechol mitrapim chutz mi'avodah zarah v'gilui arayot v'shlichut damim. Truth is, you can't use any of the three elements which we're about to learn how we know, but you can't use any of the things that are mechayev you, mesirut nefesh, to heal yourself either, of course. Avodah zarah ha'de'amor. We just proved avodah zarah. Gilui arayot v'shlichut damim. How do we know about that? Titania, Rebbe Omer, says in the Torah, ki ka'asher yakum ish. Why? Because, look, you know, she was shouting, nobody saved her, and it wasn't her fault. But what is the connection of Kikasher Yakum, Isharayeh, with Tzachon Nefesh have to do with the Nara Murasa? What does that teach us? Oh, therefore, it's a Nara Murasa. Can you tell me what the logical connection is that we learned something out of Rotzeach to Nara Murasa? Despite the fact that the Torah presented it as if we were learning something from Kasher, it doesn't mean that. It means they are the same. Ke'am ka'kohen is what it means. Ka'asher. These two things are the same. In the same way, what are the things we learn out? Well, makish rotzeach l'nara ha'murasa. Ma nara ha'murasa nitana ha'tzila b'nafsha. First of all, it says that ein matzila. Mashmeh, there's somebody there to be matzil. That he should have been matzil. Well, what does that mean? He's shooting the guy through the heart if necessary. All he wants to do is rape her. Doesn't matter. He has to be shot. So you see from here that in order to save the nara, so the Torah is saying, use whatever means are at your disposal. So you would think now you're coming and somebody's about to murder. A is about to murder B. So I should murder A to save B. I mean, somebody's going to be murdered. So don't interfere. You know, just be an anthropologist. Watch it happen. I mean, but what are you interfering to save B just because he's the underdog? I mean, maybe he's terrible. Exactly. Therefore, it's teaching you a big kiddush. You have to take action in order to avoid A murdering B by killing A if necessary.
There's a difference between murder and killing. Murder and killing are not the same thing.
No, neither is manslaughter. As a matter of fact, I think there are 15 different levels we can define. If you want to go into it.
It's juicy.
But that's connected to your Amalek. We should basically get that to our circuit.
Yeah, good idea.
You catch me in a mitzvah shop. All right. So that's the first thing that we learn out. And we also learn out a nara ha'mu'urasa from a rotzeach in a separate issue, which is ma rotzeach yareg v'al ya'avor. Just like if somebody threatens you with death unless you kill someone else, then you need to allow yourself to die. Af nara ha'mu'urasa, who is raped at gunpoint, te'areg v'al ta'avor.
The girl.
Well, actually, no.
No,
that's very interesting.
She's passive.
The rapist. Yeah. Because the girl is passive.
Right.
And therefore she does not have to give up her life. That's no...
Esther.
That's right. Esther, Karkaolam, Yael, correct? Although Yael is sort of active.
Yeah.
Out there.
Tosfos
says that if she's active, so then of course it doesn't apply. We're going to say that being a woman makes you passive. Like definition.
I think Tosfos points out it's different.
Yeah,
it's
not... not Tosis, it's an extension of Tosis. But in any event,
we're talking about the rapist has a gun to his head. Somebody says
the male, the rapist has a gun to the male's head and says to him, "Either you rape her or I kill you." That's the point.
Take the bullet, then.
So then take the bullet. That's the point. But not about the woman. Yeah. Okay. So therefore, the lashon is a little teharig v'altavol. Doesn't really fit into it. So it should be yehareg. And Tosis's girsa is indeed yehareg v'altavol, not teharig.
I'm missing the jump. How do we get to this?
How do we get to this?
Yeah. How do we get from?
We haven't gotten to it from the pasuk because it's comparing non-marasa to rotzeach. So we're assuming now for a moment that a rotzeach is by definition supposed to take the bullet himself, in which case so is rape. Okay. How do we know shvichas damim gufeminol? And how do we know about shvichas damim svarim? That's simple logic. I mean, somebody tells you to become the active ingredient in destroying B's life, or you A will be killed. I mean, normally we know the Torah tells us go be over any issur at all in order to save a Jewish life. Over here, you're not saving a Jewish life by shooting him.
Why not? Because you're taking a Jewish life?
Because you're taking a Jewish life. So the net is the same. The only way that you could have the right to do such a thing is by making a moral judgment as to whose life is more worthwhile in the eyes of God, which would be the height of temerity, which is why we say, I mean, why would we be the one to act? Like, unfortunately, this guy who came to Rava with exactly this question, Amar Lei, he said to him, Mori Duroi Amar Lei Zil Katra Laplania, the governor of the city, has warned me, I better knock off so-and-so. Vilo Katlino Lachar, if not, we're coming for you. Now, what am I supposed to do? Amar Lei, so Rabbi Paskin, you have to let yourself be killed. L'ktaluch, v'lo tikto, don't murder. Mai chazita d'dama didach sumektveit. What makes you think that your blood is redder than the other guy? Yomadama da'ugavra sumektveit. Maybe his blood is redder than yours. And on what basis exactly are we going to make a determination that one life is worth more than another?
And
once we can't make a moral determination in the face of to be or not to be, there's nothing we can do. So just remain passive and hope for the best.
What can we learn from Machteret, Abba Machteret?
No, Abba Machteret is the Rotzeach.
So if I see if I can kill that person.
Sure, kill the governor. He's not coming to kill me. Uh-huh. Right? Now, so that's his svara. The Torah is telling me to apply the case of that svara that has absolutely nothing in common in terms of the logic to even the case. Obviously, it doesn't mean rape. It means an erev. I mean, there's no problem with rape, but we're talking about an incestuous situation, either a relative or a shatich. And there's one of the arai. Okay, so in that case, we now have three things. We have avodah zarah, shvichas damim, gilui arayos that cannot be used to save your life. Now, Mar Bar Rav Ashi walks into Ravina and he fights him using guharki de orla, the shayach levarti de guharki de orla, who is rubbing down over here his daughter, using these young olives that weren't quite mature, and she wasn't feeling well. And he was using orla olives as a rub. No, tastika. It's fantastic. It's not a good oil. Sometimes it's used for food. So over there, he was using isurei hanah. So he asked him, what's going on? Imadarma rabbanu b'shata sakana. Yes, it says you could be marapi yourself, but remember, we came out that there was only if your life was in danger. I mean, what's the problem over here with the baby? Shelo b'shata sakana miyama omar lai. So he said, "Hi ishtata b'tzmirata nami shata sakana." She has a temperature. If she has a temperature, then that has to be viewed as a sakana nefashot. Ikeri yamri omar lai. Others say that what he answered was, this goes back to the question we had earlier. Mide derachana akadit. Now, what am I doing this the way it's normally done? People use these unripe zaiti. No, this is not normal. I said before, it's only normal consumption. That's us. So you don't need to have a sakanat nefashot in order to be matir this. It's not kederach hanatan. That's very interesting that this has turned out to become an extremely important contemporary issue. Because many poskim learned that the two approaches here in the sugya is a machlok is about whether fever is considered to be ipso facto a sakanat nefashot. So according to the second lashon, usually we pass back the second lashon, the Ikedi Amri. In the Ikedi Amri, he wasn't saying that fever is dangerous, which would mean that you wouldn't be b'chal Shabbos for fever.
Well, who says there even was fever?
There's always an issue with that. Never someone called something. And Ikedi Amri, the point of the Gemara bringing in Ikedi Amri is telling me, my Ikedi Amri is not Ikedi Amri. Halachically speaking, that seems to be what they would be arguing about, at least one half of the argument. Okay, and the Halacha Amais, I mean, as you all know, you know, Moshe Paschal said a fever of 102 Fahrenheit, which I think 38.9 or whatever. It's considered to be maybe 39.8. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, but in any event, you can see it's very, very no gamble. So is Shalom Kederach Ananata. What is considered to be Shalom Kederach Ananata? Does it need any type of extenuating circumstances to be Mata B'chadiwa? Was she also sick? And he's just saying that it wasn't second as the Farshah. Anyway.
Abadin or what's the thought?
Oh, he uses the that shear.
Not the shear, just the whole concept. But you're not sure, so they send him out anyway.
Yeah.
Phone call, they
can't
anyway, because I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's going to
happen
from this,
what Ramosha Stark is based on. You don't have to know that somebody's a Zakrona. You only have to consider that it might be a Zakrona.
He won a prize in a Talatoya thing, the Shaykh, the grass hair baby. You carry it in
the field. Oh, yeah. Don't plant that in the vineyard. It's not if you plan to eat the baby.
It would apply to a non-kosher pill that you have.
Yeah, so the second part, the Shaloka Derechana. Yeah. I mean, that's even worse. That's a chila.
That's called
Shaloka. No, that's the point. It's Shaloka
Derechachila.
That's the, remember, Shaloka Derechachila is more kal than Shaloka Derechana, because I know it's by definition broader. That's why we had two Lashonas before. Abaye Omar Muteret. I'm sorry, I skipped the introduction. If you have a Hana'a that is coming your way without any act, Baal Korcho doesn't mean literally Baal Korcho, that somebody's tying you down and forcing you to be men. It simply means something that is happening to you without your being involved in any way. You're walking along the street and there's this wonderful smell of Avodah Zarah coming from out of the church. So
they smell game on the radio when you cross
the street. Ah, there you go. That's the perfect case. So anyway, it's just coming your way. So Abaya says, look, that's not a problem. That's Muteret. So in other words, you don't have to avoid that. You don't have to say, I'll go a different way. It's not your problem. Rava Omer Asura. What exactly is the case? Because there's a lot of variables. I mean, do you enjoy it? Are you thinking about how nice this is and how wonderful it is? You happy at church at the right time? Or is there another road? Did you go a different direction? I mean, what's the case? Says the Gemara, well, Efshar, if you have an alternative, again, having an alternative doesn't mean a physical possibility in the universe. It means having a reasonable alternative, a comfortable alternative. I don't want to go south. I want to go north. Well, there's always an alternative to go south. That's not called an alternative. Okay. So Efshar, a reasonable alternative, as the Re puts it in Tosfos. It's not Betorach Godel. Okay, so it's part of your derech without a great amount of additional yurka that you could get. That would be Efshar. Otherwise, it's not Efshar. So if you could have an alternative, and you even have in mind that you specifically want to enjoy what you're enjoying, well, for that matter, even if there's no alternative, but you have Kavanah to enjoy it, Kulei Amo Pligidi Os. That wasn't their Machlokas. That's definitely Os. Lo Efshar. Yeah, all right, we'll talk about it in a minute. Lo efshav kamechavin. I'm sorry. Lo efshav lo kamechavin. If there's no alternative and you're not thinking about the enjoyment, kuli amalo pligid ashari. Everybody is moda. That's mutter. Now, that's a little bit iffy. We have to think about whether that's true if you hold dovashin miskavin is mutter only, or even if you hold dovashin miskavin is also. And the truth is about Korkus Rashi and Tosfos. About this, Tosfos understands the meaning of the Gemara is only aliba to rishim. If dovashin miskavin is mutter, then both abaya Rava would be made in this case, that if there's no kavana, so then leave it to Rabbi Shimon, it would be mutter. And he pleaded the efshar v'lo mecha. The machlokas over here is where there's an alternative, but you don't have any kavana. Do you have to take a slightly intermediate alternative? So I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, Dama Dava Shem, Rizkavin, Osirkli, I'm a pleaded loss. If we're going according to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone's agreed that, of course, you'll have to take the alternative. What then is the machlokas of Ayav Rava? What it boils down to is understanding how much Rabbi Yehuda meant, Rabbi Shimon meant mutter on the Dovashen of Miskav. So keep pleading, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The Yom Dovashen of Miskav in Mutar. Abaya says, look, does Rabbi Shimon say Mutar or not? Mutar means Mutar. 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 Efshar. Not Efshar. We're talking about Efshar. So under any and all circumstances, not interested in this thing. So therefore, it should not be a problem. Okay. Rabbi said, now wait a minute. Atkan lo kama Rabbi Shimon alech below Efshar. And Rabbi Shimon was talking about moving a heavy bed across the floor. That was the case. Really. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're going to make a hole or whatever, right? But, I mean, he didn't say you could stomp, drag something across the floor because you're too lazy to pick it up. I mean, well, you could take your garbage pail and just drag it across the floor. He wasn't out there then. So, Abalhechad Efshar lo. So this, of course, is a new approach to Rabbi Shimon. Ikari Amri, others say, actually just the opposite. Efshar v'lo mechavein. If it were possible not to do this, but you have no interest in being nene, that is the machlokas of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, both according to Rabbi Abba. Lo pli, where's the case? Lo efshar v'lo mechavein. And if there was no alternative and you had no kavana, even Rabbi Yehuda would be moda that it's mutter. Wow, that's big news. Keep leading the lo efshar. What we're talking about over here is where there is no alternative and you do have kavana. And like this, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. The azil batar kavana kuli. I'm going to look at the Rabbi Shimon makes the centerpiece of his concerns kavana. You have kavana, it's us. You don't have kavana, it's mutter. That's a dover shen mitkaven. So by that standard, what you have over here is a mitkaven. Obviously, according to Rabbi Shimon, this is so counterintuitive, it's a shocking remark. So according to Rabbi Shimon, since kavana is the criterion, so then over here you have kavana, it's definitely going to be us. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's amazing. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Kavanah is not the criteria. Therefore, says Abaye, it's irrelevant.
Amazing.
total reversal of everything that you would have thought.
But it makes sense.
Yeah. So therefore, it's completely irrelevant whether you were Mechavan or not Mechavan. All we need to determine is Efshar alive. Because that's all, since we're now talking about Rabbi Yehuda himself being Vaida. Okay, so now I'm telling you to the Rabbi Yehuda. It's all a function of Efshar. Efshar Asur. That's what you've agreed to. And it's only where it's low in Shechet, even Rabbi Yehuda was made according to this Lashon, right? Oh, poof. So Abaye.
Doesn't it imply the possibility of another option and you don't take it? Doesn't that also imply Kavanah?
That's a new sheet in the Gemara that we haven't found yet, but it may exist in a different shop. Just not in our. That's right.
It's not like a subconscious.
No, it's not that simple because we deal with subconscious in that secretion, so it's not that we're in Bital Lane in any way. I'll go over it again. It's this first week to the other. Okay. So therefore, Kipli Ali Rabbi Yehuda, Yom Lo Shlamit Kamei Lo Shashem Kavein Efshar Asur. So Abaye says, look, okay, I hold the Rabbi Yehuda. That's all. But Kavanah is irrelevant. Question over here is it Efshar? Only if it's Efshar, so then it's Asur. So Efshar, so then it's a Mutter. So whereas Rava says, ah, come on, all Rabbi Yehuda said is that even if you don't have Kavanah, it's as bad as having Kavanah in order to be Masmir. I mean, did he ever say that it makes no difference if you have Kavanah or you don't have Kavanah as a Kula? Man. I mean, he never said, but he never said that Kavanah is not an issue. All he said was that the lack of Kavanah doesn't mean that necessarily it's Munter. That's all he said. Now you're jumping for this. Well, that means that he doesn't care about Kavanah. Where did he ever say that? So it could be that Kavanah is also a criteria there. All right, so again, to review. Now, there's a Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about how to learn the Sugya. I feel that it's clearer and more reasonable to learn it like Tosfos. Because according to Rashi, we might have to think about what would have been the status in the beginning, the first Lashon, be matter even a leader of Yehuda. That's how he learns. Abaye v'Rava, it says in Rashi, lo pligi d'shari afilu l'Rabbi Yehuda in that Lashon. Right? So that's not so posh. Therefore, Tosfos learns like this. First of all, the Kulei Alma changes its antecedent in the two Lashonis. The Kulei Alma in the first Lashon is referring to Abaye v'Rava. The Kulei Alma in the second Lashon is referring to both Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. That's the first thing that is necessary to recognize in order not to get confused. Furthermore, as Tosfos points out, normally in an Ika d'Amri, we go through the whole thing and say it over again. The reason that we don't do that over here is because there's only a particular item that we changed. And that was this understanding in Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, we don't start from the whole thing all over again and say, Ekle, Efshar, Ekle, Efshar, and so on. And that fits in very well with Tosfos' trap. Therefore, says Tosfos, look, it's mutter, lo pligi, that it's mutter. Both Rabbi Abaye and Rav made it that it's mutter. It means it's mutter, I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. Since the man does not have any kavan, and whether it's Efshar, it's not Efshar, it's mutter, because there's no kavan. That's all. Right? That's the first lashon. So let's see that inside. So in the case, says the first lashon, Efshar, v'kod mechavein, lo Efshar, v'kod mechavein, kavan is definitely going to ask, everybody agrees. Lo Efshar, v'lo kod mechavein, kulei amal lo pligi d'shari, because the simple understanding of Rabbi Shimon is that he couldn't care less whether you're being nene. After all, you have no kavana. That's all that's important. What is the machlokas? The machlokas is whether Efshar is an issue without kavana. According to Rabbi Yehuda, forget about it, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, a double shen is kavin is us, so it wouldn't matter, Efshar or not Efshar. Forget about Rabbi Yehuda. Machlokas was a little bit of Rabbi Shimon. Is Efshar a criteria? A little bit of Rabbi Shimon or not? That's the first lashon. The second lashon takes exactly the opposite approach to understanding Rabbi Yehuda. So the second lashon says, oh, wait a minute. Actually, in Rabbi Yehuda, perhaps kavanah is not a criteria at all. And therefore, the kavanah won't necessarily answer it, and they're arguing, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, not I'll leave it to Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, according to the second lashon, Rabbi Yehuda was matir dover shein amit kavein, where it's Efshar, Rabbi Yehuda. Since Rabbi Yehuda now cares about Efshar more than he does about kavanah, says Abaye, look, I mean, what that means is that we have no indication Rabbi Yehuda cares about Kavanah one way or the other. Basically, what he did was he said that the Rabbanan created an Isser, where if it isn't important, don't do something that is in any way possibly related to a malacha. But if it's important, you don't have to worry about it. As long as you're not going to for sure do the malacha. That's all. It's a whole different way of looking at Rabbi Yehuda's thing. What's it saying? There's an equivalence. It's just the act that's important, not the kavanah, under any and all circumstances. Okay, so according to the second lashon, Rabbi Yehuda, indeed, there's two possibilities. Abaye says he doesn't view kavanah as important at all. And therefore, even if I want to be nana, what does he care? This is not important. You had no choice but to go this way because you needed to get to your girlfriend's house. He said, don't go to my girlfriend, no. That's not included. This is the way I'm living. I can't go south. I have to go north. So now, can I pass by the church and sniff? Yeah. but I want it. I like the smell. So you didn't go out to create that smell. You didn't go out to make the smell. You're there, and the smell is there, and there's no way to stop breathing. So it's not a problem. So this is a bite. According to Rava, that's taking it too far, because even though Rabbi Yehuda said it was mutter, he didn't mean where it was low efshir. He didn't mean that kavan is not an issue. He said the kavan is not an issue. A lack of kavan is not an issue to be mutter. He never said the lack of that having kavan is not an issue to aser. Maybe he agrees that there's two kinds of there's kavan, and when you take it to the Russian, there's efshir, you need to take it to the Russian. Okay, that's very, very fascinating. By the way, if you recall, the whole sugya in Shabbos doesn't work out according to this at all. The sugya in Shabbos, as Tosfos points out over here, that the what we have over there is a gear set that, according to Ula, the machlokas is biktanim, but if you have large furniture, even Rabbi Shimon is made it as us. That doesn't work out according to anybody. Because over here, it just points out, the whole sugya is assuming that the more difficult it is, the more mutter is it, not the more usher is it. So that for sure doesn't, either way, nobody ever, the whole tendency of the sugya is in the opposite direction. There's no indication the other way at all. So, bichlal, this is a problem. There's other things that are different from the way we have it in Bamba Matlikin in here. No, we need to see more about, he says that whole gear is wrong. I mean, he's Meshavish, one there, he's Meshavish to gear. Well, if that's a very good point, but then according to that, Rabbi Shimon should be irrelevant anywhere but Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Right, but it's not. It's not a function of Melech Shabbos.
The concept of
Dover
Shabbos.
Dover She'enu Niskaven is a universal concept, fascinatingly enough. It has special elements that are no Dei Shabbos, obviously, because of Melech Shabbos, where there are certain differences. But generally speaking, you apply Rabbi Shimon across the board. All right, tell me that wasn't fun. Specifically for that purpose. Let me ask you something. We're forced to conclude that indeed it had a shata kosher. So now we can say, well, but if that's the case, what about the killer tomatoes? On my rabbi, truth is, there's two sugyas. Straight right sugya. Ksiv azera. Ksiv amaleya. Okay, it's a zorua mihikaros, then the hashrasha asers the actual zera itself. But zorua uba in a non-kilayim context, only if it's osif, then it's osif, osif lo. Omri Yaakov, Omri Yochan, and Bekom Mitrap, in chut miatze asher ha'efidam, It's bad news, buddy. Liktaluch, hola tiktot. My chazita, the dama didach sumak tvei. Dima dama de hugam sumak tvei. Mar baravashi ashke lorvina de shayef le levati begohar ki da orla. Amar lei, wait a minute. Eimur dama rabbonim b'shat ha-sakana? Shalo b'shat ha-sakana, you're allowed to use yisuri ana? Amar lei, hai, shata, tzimirata. Nani ki sha'at ha-sakana damya. Ikri amri, amar lei, midi, terachanaka, vidna. Itma. Hanaha ba'alo la'adam ba'al korcho. Ba'i omar muteret, rav omar asura. Ef shevika mechavin, or lo ef shevika mechavin, kuli amalo pligei di asur. Lo ef sheva lo mechavin, kuli amalo pligei di shari. Ki plig, and here there's a machlokas rashi and tosis, whether this is only alibi de Rabbi Shimon, or even alibi de Rabbi Yehuda. Ki pligei de ef sheva lo mechavin, v'alibi de Rabbi Yehuda di omar davar she'in mo mitkavin asur, kuli amalo pligei di asur. Abaya says, look, all I'm saying is what Rabbi Shimon says. The Rav Amar Ad Kan Lo Kamar Rabbi Shimon Eichad Lo Efshar, Avol Eichad Efshar Lo. Ikeri Amri Efshar V'Lo Mechavin Haynu Pluktayu De Rabbi Yehuda V'Rabbi Shimon. Lo Efshar V'Lo Kam Mechavin Kulei Amal Pligid Ashar, including Rabbi Yehuda. Ki Pligid Lo Efshar V'Kam Mechavin. So Valiba the Rabbi Shimon the Azil Batar Kavanas. And if he was Mechavin, it's definitely also Kulei Amal Pligid Ashar. Ki Pligid Aliba the Rabbi Yehuda. Since, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Kavana is irrelevant, Loshna mitkaven v'loshna she'enmo mitkaven, it's all a function of Efshar is Asr, but ain't no Efshar not. So Abaye says, okay, so I'm following Rabbi Yehuda. What's the difference if he's mechaven? V'rova amalacha, ad kavo kama Rabbi Yehuda she'enmo mitkaven ki mitkaven elo l'chumra, ava mitkaven ki she'enmo mitkaven l'kula, lo. More excitement tomorrow.